Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Hello, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. On this episode, my guest is Brock Anderson. We talk about Arn, AEW, teaming with CW, and much, much more. It's hard. I tell Brock this in the interview, man. I think Paul Heyman's kind of ruined his name, right? Because no matter who it is, anytime you see it, you want to say Brock Anderson. You want to put that growl on Brock, just like Paul Heyman. So, yeah, by the way, thanks, Paul Heyman, for putting that into pop culture, stratosphere out there. Guys, make sure to remember, if you have not already, go back and listen to the episode before this one featuring Joel Goodhart and Bay Ragney as we talk about TWA, the one and done, and WrestleCon events. And also, very, very important, make sure you click in the link in that show's notes and sign the petition to make the TWA banner in the 2300 arena a reality. Guys, it's very important to me. It's very important to Bay and Joel. Do it for me. Just take a few minutes. Go do that. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. So, all right, that's it. Short open. Let's get right to it. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have my guest, Brock Anderson.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to The Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guys for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade. So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
This is Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. Hello, I am one of your friends, Dave. I am one of the co-hosts of Listen to Their Screams with my friend Ike, and we want you to come and check us out. We are a fun-filled, positive horror movie podcast that does reviews, news, birthdays, anniversaries. We play games. We are a ton of fun every week for you, the horror fan out there. For all of our links to our social media and the podcast platforms, just check out our link tree. It is linktr.ee/listen2screams. That is listen, the number two, and screams. Or look us up on your favorite social media platform and podcast provider. And welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by a special guest, Brock Anderson. Brock, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. Appreciate you having me on today.
Yeah, I appreciate you making the time. And obviously, as everybody knows, your father is Arn Anderson. And I got to ask one question about Arn. He was always a top promo guy, right? What was it like as a kid getting a lecture from Arn when you did something wrong?
He could blister you. He could blister you for sure. The problem was it wasn't ever really verbally. It was the where you messed up, and I learned after a couple times where you messed up. So my dad was on the road, basically his schedule the whole time.
Yeah.
When I was growing up all the way through high school, he'd come back Tuesday night or Wednesday, depending on where he was. Mm-hmm. He would basically sleep all day Wednesday because he was exhausted.
Sure.
He'd be more at it Thursday. And if he had to be on the house show loop, he would turn around and leave Friday. Now, he wasn't always on the house show loop, but if he did that, so if he's on the house show loop and you mess around and do some stupid stuff on the weekend, you got two ass whoopings because you got the immediate ass whooping from my mama. My mama wouldn't be scared to put the belt to you. And then she'd be like, well, just wait till your dad gets home. And I'd be like, hold up a minute. I thought we just kind of settled up right here. I thought we just cleared the air on this. And then he'd come home, and depending on the severity of it, he'd whip you. So it didn't take too many of those double whippings to figure out.
And that'd be the worst, just sitting around waiting.
Oh, yeah. You messed up on Saturday, wait until, Wednesday for him to get home.
Oh, man. And I read your parents urged you to go to college. And you did, and graduated.
Yes, sir.
That you wanted to be a wrestler, and then eventually after college you did, right? You signed with AEW. You trained with QT Marshall, Glacier, Lodi. Tell us a little bit about your training.
So I graduated December 19 from East Carolina University. Yeah. And January 2020, I immediately started training. I trained with Lodi from the Flock from WCW. He had a ring 15 minutes from my house. Couldn't be more convenient. Uh-huh. He's a great, great coach and an even better person. I can speak volumes on the kind of person he is. This is the beginning of COVID when all the gyms shut down.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He gave us a key to the facility to allow us to train, and that was invaluable. So that was the bulk of my training. I trained there for, a year before I had my tryout with AEW. And then once I signed there, I went to the Nightmare Factory just a handful of times.
Yeah.
But they would have, during COVID, during the day, they would still have some of the young guys out there training, getting them good reps during the downtime.
Yeah.
So that was a bulk of my early training.
Yeah. But you debuted, you debuted at a TV taping, correct? I mean, on AEW, right? You didn't have any shows before that because of COVID and everything else.
First ever match was, it was on national television. It was tagging with Cody.
Against
QT and Aaron Solo. And this is what we were doing every 2 weeks. So we would tape a live show in front of, I think they had allowed 1,500 fans. And then you would do a taped one after with just the talent ring.
Right. Yeah.
Just to provide noise. So I was on the one with just the talent.
Okay.
Which was probably a blessing because if I'd have walked out there to a full packed house, I don't know how it would have went.
Yeah, I got to say that's pretty daunting anyway. But yeah, I guess that's a little better. I mean, just in front of the talent, some guys you probably already had got to know a little bit.
Exactly.
But your time in AEW, you shared a locker room with so many guys that had worked on the indies for years, different, degrees, guys that, had come from WWE, all these different things. Did anybody ever give you any heat or any grief for your position and kind of being the new guy and kind of, debuting with AEW? Because, I know in the old days, people might have frowned upon that, but I didn't know how that locker room was.
Not ever to me. There might have been I don't think I was that. I don't think I was that big of a threat to anybody in that locker room that they view, especially like really the top established guys. So they, all the top established legends and everything, always treated me great, because just the at least out of the pure respect for my dad. I don't know how they felt about me, but yeah, they were very cordial, always very respectful, would help if they thought they could, you know. Yeah. I mean, you had guys in that backstage area. You had Dustin Rhodes, you had Dean Malenko, yeah, you had Jake the Snake Roberts, who always pulled me aside and told me, because he's second generation, so he kind of, yeah, got it. He, yeah, would help me a lot. You know, Mark Henry was back there. Big Show was back there. I can go on. I can keep listening. FTR, I always watched and listened to. There's just a lot of guys back there that I wasn't scared to pick their brain. Tully, when he was there.
Mm, yeah. I imagine FTR, right? I'm sure they gravitated to you a bit, right? Because, I mean, you're Arn's son. You're from Carolina. You know, I mean, you were kind of their kind of guy. So I imagine they, I mean, I would venture to guess, tried to help you as much as they could.
They took an interest when they didn't have to. I mean, they were on top of their game. They were the best. They still are the best, mm-hmm, tag team, mm-hmm, in the world. And just for them to even give the time of day to just some punk kid was pretty cool. Got to wrestle, yeah, three times with three different partners.
Yeah.
And every time I stepped in there, I learned something.
I bet. Yeah, I bet. Yeah, and it was reported that your contract ran out in May of 2023, but that you worked for him a little bit later in that year, right? You took some time off, I think hit the gym, you know, tried to get a little better conditions. This is what the reports are. And that, but you came back that fall. So were you working on kind of a per agreement arrangement there for a while with them?
Yeah. So the whole time I was on a per appearance, and
okay.
And they offered me, I can't remember. I think it ran out September, and then I just never heard anything from them for six. They offered me the same deal, but the appearances, as I'm sure everybody noticed, were becoming less frequent. Yeah. And I was like, I can't do that. And then 6 weeks later, I heard I was released, even though I wasn't under contract. so that was funny. But yeah, I love my time at AEW. Everybody there was great. Tony, he provided jobs when the world shut down, and he gave a place for people to work, people to get better, people to be seen. And that experience and what he did for me and my dad, I'll always be grateful for. But I, yeah, just, at this point in my career, I have to be, if I'm leaving the house, I'd like to know if I'm wrestling.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Because there's a difference between taking a check and getting better. And I feel like I needed to get better substantially. So I kind of bet on myself when I left there.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to stir anything up here. I want to ask you though, I'm not trying to knock AEW, but you know, a lot of, there have been some reports that it's a little chaotic, right? The organization is, I mean, it, just like that, you know, not hearing from a while. I'm not putting the blame or saying anything, but they say a lot of it is that maybe Tony Khan stretches himself a bit too much, right? That maybe he should find some people to, you know, take some off of him, give him a little help so that he can focus in a little bit. And if you don't want to comment that, I totally get it. But I mean, do you kind of agree with that? Do you think, and again, I'm not saying it in a bad way per se, I'm just saying there's only so much one man can do, and that maybe he needs to maybe find some right hands a little bit to help with some of that load.
Dave, that was way above my pay grade. I never okay, saw any of those conversations.
All right, well,
I never got enough. Any of that. So I got nothing for you on that
one. All right, fair enough. But one of the things that's kind of been key for you since leaving AEW, you've developed this tag team with CW Anderson.
Yes, sir.
And that, I mean, it just, right, it just fits, right? It's just, you're both Andersons in this manner of speaking. Yes, I'm sure the whole world knows CW's not blood, but
well, we ain't got the 23andMe back yet. He could see.
Well, there's enough. I mean, there's enough similarities in luck. You never know.
Exactly.
And, but regardless of CW's, he's had the blessing, right, to be an Anderson. So yes, it's, sir, no matter what, it's wrestling. That, you know, hey, it's there. But my point being, man, CW obviously is a veteran, right? Done everything, been everywhere.
I don't even know how many miles and years he's got under him and everything. That's got to be almost like a second training for you to have a guy like that that you're working with as in a team. And that's got to be so beneficial to you.
It was the perfect thing that could have happened to me leaving a company, not knowing what lied beyond. So a company that I had worked for a couple times here in the Carolinas, AML.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tracy Myers, Brian Hawks. Yep. They had pitched the idea, said, hey, we want to tag you up with CW, bring you in as Andersons. And my initial reaction, without any hesitation, I was like, that makes too much sense. Let's do it. And I'd met CW because he was he trained my trainer, Lodi, back in the day. So
right,
he'd been through Charlotte to Lodi's a couple times. So I'd met him, and I'd even done some six-mans with him. So being in that tag team has been tremendously beneficial because, yeah, I mean, you can find the similarities. It's probably like, I mean, you can either do a tit for tat with my dad and Ole, you know, early on in his career, and just being around Ole Anderson, who, love him or hate him, he made a lot of money in this business, and he was a top notch heel, brother, whether a cam was rolling or not.
Yeah.
And I think
always loved Ole.
Yeah. I mean, you believed Ole.
Yeah.
And I think that experience being beneficial for my dad, I'd literally have just started calling C-Dub my Ole, because he's got 30 years in this business. Like you said, he's traveled the world. ECW, MLW's original incarnation. He'd been countless times to Japan. I mean, he's seen it all, done it all. And where he really, really is valuable is he can tell me the things that the old man can't.
Yeah.
Because old man, you got to make a choice. You can either be a father or you can be a coach. Much like being a high school football coach and having your son be the quarterback. That's a tough relationship to balance.
Yep.
So he can tell me the things that the old man can't, be like, hey, this sucked, that sucked, or this was good, or maybe we put this here or work on that. And that has been invaluable.
Yeah. And even some of that non stuff in the ring, right? Because you going from AEW, being on national TV or worldwide TV, but that's, you know, in some cases, and out here you are doing this. I mean, CEW's been there, right? I mean, he was in ECW, he was on the rise, poised to become one of their top guy, if not their top guy. And then ECW's gone. And here CW is trying to re-find his footing. So he's been there, right? He's had that experience of you know, finding his footing, reestablishing his career. So even stuff like that, I mean, there's something to be said for that as being a mentor there for you.
For sure. He's the old gunslinger, and I'm the kid that he's taken under his wing.
Yeah, and you guys, Ben, you work great together in the ring, right? It's definitely, you get that vibe, that feel of the Andersons and the previous teams before you, the style they perfected. You can tell there's a definite plan on your part, your guys' part, in how you approach matches and opponents. But one thing that really jumped at me is this, the clip that came out not too long ago. I mean, it's probably been a few months now, but where your dad gave you and CW the famous Anderson boots.
Yes, sir.
And that may not hit for a lot of people. They may not understand it, but if you do, and if you've ever watched the Andersons, and if you've ever seen it, man, that's a goosebump moment there to watch. And I can't imagine what it's like for you.
Well, it was my idea, because my idea was to bring the boots back, because I was like, if we're going to do this, can't do it half-assed. You gotta go all in.
Yeah.
And I asked my dad about if that'd be all right. And he said, yeah, sure. And we got a guy down in Texas, and he made a beautiful pair of boots. And boy, do those things look crisp on us. I ain't kidding you.
Yeah.
But upholding that legacy and that look. Once you see those boots, if you're a wrestling fan from way back.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's instant recognition. It takes you back to a time and place when you loved wrestling and you loved watching it on Saturday mornings, Saturday night, wherever you lived.
And that clip, it was even better, because, right, it's your dad. We know, right? We understand that,
right,
what's there, but just to see it, right? Just to see, hey, it's like this passing of the torch, right? This blessing of, hey, you know what? Here it is. Bam, you're the Andersons now. Go do it. You know, live up to it. I mean, It's just so good. It's so old school, right? I mean, that's stuff you saw back in the day, and it just works. It was so. I've always been a huge Anderson fan, right? All incarnations of the Andersons, and it was just such a cool thing. And I know it may not hit for everybody the same way, but it was such a cool thing. And you guys, you know, coming out in MLW wearing those Minnesota colors, and it was wild, man. It was totally like you said, like Arnon Oley coming out there again. And it was beautiful. It was wonderful.
Yes, sir.
And you guys, like I said, well, I mentioned when you're coming out, you guys are working regularly now for MLW. Mm-hmm. And you're facing there. I mean, obviously, you know, MLW's got some great talent, some great teams. But on the recent show where you made your debut, you know, and I watched that show. It was a very fun show. No offense to MLW. I watched it for you guys. That's what I was watching for. That's what my highlight of the show. But you guys aligned yourself with Brett Ryan Goslin and Bobby Fish.
Yes, sir.
Four guys, right? No nonsense. Kind of badass. That's kind of, maybe you don't want to say too much, but that's kind of got a little bit of a familiar model to it.
Well, I knew Bobby from my time in AEW.
Yeah.
Absolute. Gentleman, he was another one of the guys that I probably didn't mention earlier, but he was another one of the vets that was always insanely nice to me, insanely cordial when he didn't have to be. And I always remembered that relationship. So coming here, I knew I already had one ally. Mm-hmm. And when he vouched for Brett, that's all I needed to hear was Bobby's word.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, Brett's got, you know, he's got some, it's hard to make comparisons, but you know, he's got a little of that flair vibe to him, right? Some of that charisma, that flair, quote unquote, no pun intended, that flamboyance, so to speak.
I know he's ribbing himself with that hot ass jacket he wears.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and it's kind of cool. And as you do these things, right. And as you're out there and you're, let's be real. No offense to AEW again, but you're probably being starting to be seen more by people than you were in AEW, right? You're getting a little more exposure and everything else. And is it hard for you as a second generation guy to balance, you know, your heritage, your family name, with trying to establish a little bit of your own identity and your own self, especially, let's be frank, man, when you look so much like Arn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no how to execute a paternity test would be a waste.
Yeah, paternity test.
Absolutely. We will not be on Mari Povich anytime soon.
No, I mean, so do you ever feel that pressure to try to break out, or are you just like, you know what, this is what it is. Let's just do it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't really bother me. Okay. I mean, I knew what I was getting into when I got into this. It's just part of it. It's not something I walk around like a maniac thinking about every single day. Like I gotta live up to his name. It's something that other people pose the question to me. It's always, what do you think of that? And it's always the same answer. I don't really think about it, to be honest with you.
I guess, it's gotta be, there's a blessing there. Your dad, your mom didn't push you into this, right? They told you, hey, do this. And then if you want to, give it a try. So Correct. It was, you know, you did this on your own circumstances. And let's be frank, no offense to you or whatever, but I don't care who you are. You're not going to fill Arn Anderson's shoes. You're just, I mean, how can that career, that work rate, that, you know, that reputation, I mean, that's too much to ask of anybody. So, you know, yeah, I mean, why, you can't worry about that. It's a different era.
Completely different era. I don't think it'd be fair to equate anybody currently to those guys back then, by the simple reason that those guys were working every day out of the week, twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday. So by the time you saw them, they were polished because they'd wrestled every day for 7 years.
Yeah.
It's a different business now. It's harder to get there. You can't wrestle every day. You just can't.
Yeah, that's always been my opinion too, right? I mean, but I know it's fun to compare eras, right? I get it, and it's a natural thing to compare eras and these dream matches and what ifs. But it's hard, right? You can't say so and so wouldn't have excelled in this era, or you know, or what? Because I mean, how do you know? It's just so different, And it's, you know, yes, you can't get the reps in, but there's so many positives to the business growing. You know, it's in this day and age, right? I mean, it is easier to get exposure and to make a career out of it than it was previously without having to be on TV because of the internet, some of the tools. You know, there's, I mean, the business is booming, no matter what anybody wants to say.
Absolutely. You know, you're not banking on having to be on that television. You can, if you're not happy with what you're doing, you have a platform on whether it be Twitter, Instagram, what at Facebook. I mean, look at what Zack Ryder accomplished. In
WWE. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he wasn't being used the way he thought he was. So what'd he do? He went and got over by himself on the internet. He was the first guy to, I think, do that.
Yeah. And he makes more money now than when he was contracted. And, yeah, you know, I mean, I wrestled a little bit in the early 2000s, right? Just in the Midwest. And, I mean, it was tough then, right? Because it's like you had where you wrestled, your home, you know, promotion, where you were trained, where you, but it's like to get anywhere else, you were, I mean, we were sending videotapes or DVDs or whatever, trying to, you know, trying to make contacts, get phone numbers. So it was tough then. There's no way you could have made a career out of just working independent shows and everything else. And, so it's, you know, there's a lot to be said. You know, I understand there's pros and cons and there's things I hate about the current wrestling business, but everybody does, right? There's things, whatever.
Right.
But for the wrestlers themselves, there's so much positives now and so many opportunities to do things and to pursue things and to make some money that just wasn't here, you know, whatever, even 20 years ago.
For sure.
And it's pretty remarkable. And some of that is because of the wrestler, right? The wrestlers have done that. The wrestlers have pursued that and utilized these things. And, you know, I know I don't want to keep going back to AEW. I'm not a huge Young Bucks fan. They're not my style. Okay. But I have always, always admired back pre-AEW how they established a name for themselves and the things they did without having any kind of major contract, right? I mean, they had shirts at Hot Topic and Funko Pops. And they weren't they didn't work for a major company. And they established themselves as a brand, given this modern style. And that's, man, that's so cool, right? I mean, I just, you know, that's the new model and that's great. And that's what guys like you, when you said earlier, when you bet on yourself, that's what gives you the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. They did it, them and, you know, Cody. And now Zack Ryder's in the middle of his guys that basically were free agents. They could show up at any place, anytime that they wanted. They could work for as many different companies as they wanted, Japan, or be with New Japan stateside when they run stateside, or they could be MLW or GCW, or they could just, they're liable to show up anywhere and anytime. And that gives them that mystique. NWA anywhere.
Yeah. So, like I said, you guys are working for MLW. Are you contracted to MLW?
No, sir.
No. Okay. Well, that's what I was going to ask, because that gives you, right, there's a lot of opportunity for you guys and things you want to do. And you mentioned NWA, right? And I know there's a lot of opinions about the current NWA, but whatever it might be, the current NWA has that red strap NWA World Television title. And, you know, it's hard to not say, hey, you know what? That thing's always looked good around the waist of an Anderson. it wouldn't be natural sometime to see Brock Anderson take a shot at that title. And, you know, it's so cool to think of things like that. And it very realistically could happen.
Yeah. And, if that opportunity is presented, I would be a fool to turn it down. But right now, you know, I've had some really good conversations with Court. And if he's fine with that, then that's fine with me. But if he's not, we'll venture down that road when we can.
Right. Just my point being, though, it's right, there's so many opportunities for you that you get out there. And it's kind of this odd, you've had this odd trajectory, right? A lot of guys worked the road, did these car trips, and then kind of got a break in the deal. You know, and you kind of got... We're on national TV and now you're on the road kind of honing it right now. You know, you got your training, you got your exposure, some experience. Now it's like the fine tuning, right? You're honing it in and really getting to do it. And it's gotta be, I mean, do you find, I mean, I read it, I heard or read or whatever that you You want to be a professional wrestler since you're 12 years old. Do you still feel that passion?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's even more so. Wrestling in these independent shows when you got 1,000 or 1,200 people in a gym, and everybody's that, those are your true wrestling fans. Those are the ones who took their time. They're like, there's a local show down at the high school gym.
Yeah.
That rather than going to the park or rather watching college football at home, they're like, they want to be at the wrestling matches, and they bring the energy. Those are what's fun. TV wrestling can be great, but it can also be very, you know, it's some people out there judgmental, like holding a scorecard or something. And I'm having a blast right now, just doing my thing.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Tracy, the AML. That's Carolina wrestling right there. I mean, it's that same flavor and that, you know, great crowds and a fever pitch. I live in Carolina as well, near Raleigh.
Okay.
I'm not originally from here. I'm originally from Indiana, but I've been here for work almost 5 years ago. And you know, and I've been out and seen some shows for some, you know, different organizations in the area. And I met CW at a show for, what was it? MATW, Mid-Atlantic Territory Wrestling or something like that, I think what they're called. And things like that. So, you know, it's funny you see these things, and yeah, it still feels like Carolina wrestling.
Oh, and that's Tracy Myers and Brian Hawks over at AML. They run a top flight independent promotion. I mean,
it's great.
They bring guys in, they take care of everybody. It's well run, it's well organized, and it always culminates with that WrestleCade weekend, which is, if you haven't been, it's like Comic-Con with just pure wrestling. It's madness. It's awesome for a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's fun is there's a promotion like that almost in every region now in the U.S., right? There's these all kinds of prominent independent promotions.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so great, right? I mean, it's like, it's almost, you know, not maybe some people burn me, but it's almost like a little bit of a territory system back, right? You know, it's, there's lots of hot spots to work out there nowadays.
A little bit.
Because
guys can put their stuff on Fight TV, you know.
That's right.
Or YouTube, they can put all their stuff out there. So, yeah, you can. There's a couple good independent promotions that you can, you know, if you're bouncing around, you can get steady work.
Yeah, and you know, and it's, I mean, it's just a great. It is a good time, right? I'm an old school guy. I love the old school wrestling. That's what I go back and watch. But I can still see, you know, I know, right? The stuff I watched in the 80s and the early 90s. Hell, I know the fans in the 70s said this is garbage.
Yeah.
there's too many high spots, you know, and it's like, you know, so I understand that evolution. It always happens. And while, you know, maybe certain things in the modern styles, not my thing, it's all right. I don't care. You know, there's still enough out there that I can hone in on, right? Like I said, the MLW show, it was a fun show, but you know, the thing that caught me was you guys, cause you hearkened back to what I loved. And no offense to anybody else on there, because that's okay. Right. I mean, I'm sure they caught somebody else. But that's one of the beauties of wrestling nowadays, right? There's so much going on. Everybody can find something they like. And it's a really good time. And like I said, it's easy to get out there and see Brock Anderson or Brock and CW, right? Not only MLW, but all these other appearances you're doing, conventions you're doing, different things, right? There's lots of stuff going on. Do you have a place that people can follow you to really keep keep track of your appearances and where they're going to be? So if they want to catch Brock Anderson or meet Brock Anderson, they know where to go to catch those dates and those events.
I sure do. I have apparently there's 100 legitimate Brock Andersons out there. So they have taken up all the Instagram names. So I am still all lowercase Brock Anderson, AEW on Instagram. And on Twitter, I am at Brock Anderson, capital B, capital A, with 3 N's on Anderson.
Isn't that funny? That's hard to believe. But I've had trouble this entire interview, right? When you say Brock, I swear Paul Heyman thinks ruined your name.
Because oh, God.
Like, do you hear that all the time? Because people want to do that Brock leg, that Brock. I mean, it's just like, you want to growl.
When I was growing up, a couple people couldn't do math and they were like, were you named after Brock Lesnar? I was like, no, not even close. Like what? I was like, when I was 6, did I have a name change when he was undisputed champ? No.
Oh, geez. But, yeah. you know, Whatever. Brock's a good Anderson name. It works, right? You know, Arn, Ole, Gene, Brock. It works. It fits right in there. Arn picked well.
Yeah, I do.
It works. Well,
the biggest monster in the history of the world came along, and his name was Brock.
Yeah. Hey, you know what, though? I mean, there was that era, man, when Brock was a pretty – I mean, no, it was a common name. I mean, my name's Dave. Come on, it didn't get much more common than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they went through that phase for whatever – I don't know where they – I don't know how this stuff happens, but, right, there's lots of Brocks. And
yeah, it's more common than I thought. It used to be just a bunch of last names were more Brock, but now I'm there's a few out there. We're bopping around.
Yeah, I don't know how that name thing works or how a name gets. I don't know. I don't know if it's a TV. I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know where Brock, how that caught fire. It's like, where do people hear that? I don't know.
I guess somebody has a bright idea, puts it in a baby book one year, and it takes off.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, I guess. Well, Brock, I appreciate you giving me some time. I know you're a busy, busy guy, and you know, we had to squeeze this in your schedule. And I appreciate you giving me some time. And hopefully, I'm hoping down the road, maybe we can revisit and talk a little more and dive a little deeper.
For sure. I'd love to.
Yeah. And next, you know, hey, say hi to your dad. And sure. I know he's got a lot of things going on. I know he's got a show. But tell him if he ever gets a frog in his throat and wants to talk to somebody else, tell him old Dave's always out here and his big Arn Anderson fan.
I sure will. Yeah, I'm about to see him here in about 2 hours. About to go watch Monday Night Football game.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, yeah. Times I said, hey, and you know, I talk to CW every once in a while online. But, you know, we like I said, I've met him a few times. I've interviewed him on my show, so you know, I message him every so often, check in on him, and I know he just got married, and that's cool thing, and everything else. But so I'm excited to see what you and CW, what the future holds, and you know, I know you hold those tag titles there in AML, maybe some future titles there in MLW, and who knows what else. You know, it's cool. I'm excited to see you guys. As you develop as a team and to continue to get some exposure, it's an exciting time. And so Brock, thank you for your time. And like I said, you'll stay in touch with me and maybe we'll revisit down the road.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Dave.
Hey, it's Bob Smith. And guess what? The Outdated Wrestling Hour is now part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. But hey, no fear, you're still going to hear the unique guests, comedy, music, authors, journalists, funny people. Who knows who's going to end up on the Outdated Wrestling Hour? Remember, it's all new and all old. So check it out in the WrestleCopia Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts. Listen if you know what's good for you.
Hey everybody, Gene Jackson here, inviting you to check out the Retro Wrestling Review, where each week I'm joined by some great co-hosts who help me review classic episodes of USWA Championship Wrestling, and right now we are doing week-by-week reviews of 1993. But we don't just do reviews, sometimes we get a chance to interview some of the people who were there and lived it, plus do watch-alongs. It's a lot of fun, so check out new episodes that drop every Wednesday at WrestleCopia.com. And to find links to everything associated to the podcast, you can go to uswapodcast.com.
All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am Dave Dynasty, your host. Guys, be sure to follow me on X at the Dave Dynasty. You should already, right? If you're listening to this, if you're a regular listener, I would hope you already follow me on X or any of the other social media platforms. X is probably the best central hub. Because that is where I probably most regularly post things. I post lots of pictures, newspaper articles, dates, et cetera, et cetera. So follow me on X. Also, be sure to check out all the other WrestleCopia network of podcasts. They're all great shows. You can do that by looking up those shows on your favorite podcast platform or by going to WrestleCopia.com. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library at ClassicWrestling.net. Or download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your devices. It's very, very cool, guys. Lots of great content there. Go check them out. All right, guys. Coming this Sunday, October 13th, it'll be the first episode of the Stampede Wrestling Deep Dive. Looking at January 1988, I know all of you are out there saying, Dave, you're a liar. You've been telling us this multiple times. You've been dragging us along saying, Stampede's coming, Stampede's coming, Stampede's coming. Not only is Stampede not came, but you haven't done an AWA deep dive in a while. I know. I apologize. Just had some very cool interviews that were a little more timely that I wanted to get out there. Last week, the TWA episode, I wanted to get out there because the tickets going on sale for that event. So I apologize. I had to bump some things,
shuffle some things around. I initially had some issues where I wasn't real happy with the depth of my research yet and everything else. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. It is what it is. This is a free podcast. Give me a break. But no. I kid. But this Sunday, coming up October 13th, it will be the first episode of the Stampede Wrestling Deep Dive. Again, on January 1988. So if you've been waiting for that, if you've been looking forward to that, which lots of you have, it's finally coming. And then we are going to get back on track with the AWA Deep Dives and start doing those regularly again. Thank you guys for everything you do, for all of your support, your follows, your mentions, your likes, your comments, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for everything, for keeping the show driving, chugging along, growing as we go. You guys are the best. I appreciate all your feedback and all the responses you give me, the positive encouragement. It means the world to me, so thank you so much. So, guys, until the next episode, remember, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we've brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.